Bookers, come on down. You have stumbled upon a pot of word salad at the bottom of a sometimes inappropriate rainbow. At the controls are indie authors Cintra Sullivan, Kay Banning Kellum, and David Atherton Cooper. I'd like to say they know what they're doing, however, as the official voiceover guy, I have sworn an oath of fealty. Welcome to the What the Book podcast, where scripts and pants are optional.
Hello, bookers. Welcome to What the Book. Of course, we are always happy to be here, both or all three of us. Kay Banning Kellum. Hello, Caleb.
Hey.
And David Atherton Cooper. Hey, David.
Good evening. Good to be back.
And of course, me, your ever loving shining star amongst the gloom. No, just me. It's so exciting. I love our Sunday afternoons always, getting to chat with each other and conveying our thoughts, I guess, with the writing community as a whole. Today, this is a personal one for me today, which I think will be an interesting how I go through it, but we'll see how we go. We're going to talk about support, support from your friends, support from your family, support from the writing community, what it feels like to be supported as you write, and I guess what it feels like not to be, and how to deal with it, I guess, when you don't find the support from those that you may have expected to find support from.
That's the key word right there that I think we need to focus on. Expect, because yeah. That's where the problem starts with people. We do not have the right to expectation. And I think that is the biggest problem that kicks a lot of young writers in the behind when they first start out, is they think that everybody wants to read their stuff. And I hate to tell y'all, but your parents, your friends, they don't.
And it's not young by age either. Young readers, young writers can just mean new writers too. Because, you could be 60 and putting out your first book. And to me, you're a new writer. And you have expectations on how you expect it to go across. And sometimes can be very disillusioned with the reality of what you find.
And to be fair, it's usually hope as much as expectation. You've got a great idea, this story that's been in your head for a while, or maybe it's just come to you and you're desperate to share it with the world. Of course, you hope that the people nearest to you and all around you are going to want to read it, and they're gonna tell you good things about it. We'll get back into that a little later on, because I would almost... Personally, I've found a lot of support from friends and family and from members of the writing community looking at my stuff and giving me feedback. But where I struggle is if the feedback you get is, oh, it's great.
Right. Shallow feedback, right?
So to feel really supported, the feedback's got to be reasoned and explained, or just having my mum read stuff and go, oh, that's really good, dear, is great. She likes my stuff, but it doesn't tell me anything. So even when you get that interest from people around you, and oh yeah, I'd love to read your stuff, do you really get support from them, or do you actually have to just take whatever they give and find your own support internally to keep on writing and keep on publishing?
It's interesting. Sorry, go on.
I've always been of the opinion that if you want something and you really want something very specific, you got to just pay for it at the end of the day. I mean, I personally believe beta readers should be, who would have every right to ask for compensation for what they do, especially if you want a very curated experience from that beta reader, unless it's somebody who is just volunteering to do it because they just either really like your work or they just really like to read unpublished works. But it's always going to bounce back to the expectation. I've got friends that write or they draw or they whatever, and they always want to show you stuff. And the minute you don't legitimately want to look at it because you just don't feel like looking at it in that moment, or maybe you've read their work a couple of times and they're just not what you enjoy reading. You know, you're suddenly the bad guy for that. Oh, you don't support me. You don't like me. You know, whatever. It's like, well, maybe I just don't like your genre, your style, your whatever. And maybe I'm just not that invested to help you develop. And those are all perfectly natural, you know, reasonable responses from anybody, whether it be a family member or best friend. Unless, of course, you have some kind of contract with this person. You know, if you're paying me, then okay, I guess I have to sit down and help you know. But people think that, you know, family is just people, I guess obligation and family have become so with each other. And I think that's why people like to avoid their family so much, because it's just one big pile of obligation these days.
I always wonder sometimes that the more I have a personal relationship with somebody, if they read my work, are they more concerned with hurting my feelings than they are giving me honest feedback? So, you know, they're going to go, oh, it was a lovely story. I really enjoyed it. Even if they gave me a page's worth of feedback and it's all positive, and I know for a fact that my stories are not all positive. There's nobody can entirely love every single book I write. It's just not possible. I am great. I know it. No, I'm not. But it's just not possible. So I always am concerned that, and I mean, I don't have the best support system in a reality-based life. I do most of my support internally and through the writing community on Twitter. I have some amazing support systems through there. But in a reality flesh-based life, you know, I do not. And I would be concerned that they would give me false, not false, probably the wrong word. They would be kinder with their choice of wording.
Feedback.
Yeah, not false. False is the wrong word. But just a little kinder than, you know, and sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I want the brutal truth. I want somebody to go, look, I see where you're going, but fuck, it's shit. Will you just reread it? And, you know, try pushing it this way, taking it that way or whatever, because, you know, none of us are perfect. And sometimes you need a little shove in a different direction. I don't know.
Oh, sure.
Well, I think that's where you turn to a professional.
A professional.
Definitely professionals. Yeah. Professional will give you reasoned, measured feedback and pointers as to why they say what they say. Absolutely. I would still say you can get that from friends, possibly can even get it from family, but you've got to have that kind of relationship with them. I've got a couple of friends who will have the, you know, the good graces to not only take the time to read some of my stuff, but when they give me feedback, they're not overly blunt. I don't like to be told things are shit, even if they are, but I like to be told, you know what, have a look at that piece again, because, you know, I'm not feeling it, or, you know, you're just telling me stuff, you're not showing me how, you're just sort of showing me stuff, you're not, I don't really feel what the characters are feeling. They'll actually give reasoned feedback without being paid to do it. But of course, if you're not paying someone for their time, then you get it in their own good time when they're ready. And yeah, everyone has lives and other stuff to do. It's not like my stuff is the most important thing, even on my best friend's list of things to do. So to me, getting a professional involved is all about timeliness. And if I'm working to a deadline, sure, I don't want to hang around for weeks and months for when someone actually has the time to look at my stuff and the goodness to tell me. Whereas if I haven't got a deadline and I'm just, here were a couple of chapters I put out a while ago, and you know what, I'm not sure how they're going, because you have a look at them, it could be 6 months before I get told whether somebody liked them or not. But if they'll tell me why, then that's plenty good enough for me.
See, when we're going to be talking professionals, getting everything in a professional base, I think that's going to be unrealistic for a lot of new authors and a lot of existing authors. When you're talking professionals, you're talking financial. And while I agree that people's time is worth something, Not all payments have to be financial. I do not pay my beta readers. I have three of the most phenomenal beta readers the world has ever seen. I do not pay them a single cent. They have access to every single one of my books. I send them signed copies and t-shirts and whatever other shit that they want that I have. So I compensate them for their time with my stuff, but I do not pay them financially for their time. And that's an agreement that we're all very happy with. So,
well, yeah, as long as it's an agreement's an agreement. Absolutely. You know, so I think that's perfectly fine. As long as everybody agrees with everything that's there, they clearly feel like they're getting something out of it.
And, well, that's it. I'm just meeting new authors because, you know, we do talk a lot about, you know, professional factors. And I agree that, you know, editors need to be, I'm a professional editor, pro person. So, you know, and you get what you pay for. I pro all that kind of stuff. However,
we're not even talking about that. We're getting kind of out of the, we're talking about,
Caleb.
We're talking about 22-year-old college Centra, who writes all the
She's still
time.
She's turkey then.
Writes all the time. Who's always running back out there, and she's having to chase her friends down, or her parents down, or her cousins down, or whoever. Because, you know, the first time she said, "Hey, I want to be a writer," and they looked at her stuff and they said, "This is kind of cool," and here it is, a year and a half, 2 years later. And she can kind of tell they're not digging it. Not her writing in general, but just the being chased down to, "Hey, will you read this and give me feedback" type thing. But they don't want to say no because it's cousin Centra or daughter Centra or friend Centra.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't want to say no. But Centra can see they're not really digging it. So at that point, who kind of has the onus to just sort of back down? Now, to me, I had to learn this kind of the hard way when I was a young writer. But some people just didn't want to read my shit. And I got it. And there were people who I would have thought that, you know, had that family kind of obligation to do so. And I finally had to realize I'm more miserable having to beg them to look at it until they finally agree to. That's hurting me more.
Yeah. I think if you have
more.
To beg somebody.
Yeah. Hmm?
So
kind of open your eyes and stop demanding that people read our shit when they clearly don't want to.
Yeah, and if you have to demand or beg somebody to read it, they're not going to give you the feedback that you want anyway. So you're best off just dropping that one and let them go and hold no judges or grudges regarding it either. It's just the way it is. You move on. I have had there was a comment on my Twitter page which I wanted to address because I think this is a stigma attached to family members. A lot of family members of writers, if a writer takes the avenue to go down self-published as opposed to trad published, that they're viewed as less than by family members. So why would I be bothered reading your book? 'Cause you're not really an author if you're an indie. Well, bull fucking shit, because I am so much an author as an indie author than, you know, and I would be the same author as a trad. If I was trad published, it wouldn't matter which way I went. I'm the same person. I'm the same valued author. However, it was William Cornelison. I think I said it right. Sorry, William, if I'm wrong. That said that his family see the indie aspect as more of a hobby. Not quite. It's stupid to be indie authored as opposed to trad published. Which is, it's a shame. I think that's a real shame. It's a big loss. There's a lot of avenues for indie authors to pursue to the highest level that what a trad can, and it should be seen that way.
Oh, absolutely. But also, if you look at what AK Author was saying, he's also echoing, seem to be quite a few of the comments on that post, which is that we all seem to find our friends give much more effective support to our writing than our family sometimes. And
that is really
sure,
true.
Family may have very loud opinions about whether you should publish traditionally or independently. And guess what? just getting it published is the real thing. It doesn't matter what channel you go down. But a lot of people seem to be commenting, and Migsy at Ominous Hallways, who we interviewed last season, he was saying that, in fact, he gets most of his support from the writing community, so friends as opposed to family. And I guess I'd echo that. Yeah, my family know that I've been writing a book forever. I guess to them, it's kind of a bit of a joke. And a couple of them have said, yeah, they would like to read it. And I've sent them excerpts and copies and had a little bit of feedback. But it's friends who are the ones who are willing to actually give their time and give their opinions and share good stuff back, in my limited experience. But that does seem to be the flavour of a lot of the comments on Zintra on your page there.
And what do you tell your family? Like, Hansa wrote that we're actually having an interview with this gentleman in a couple of weeks, which will be exciting. I'm very excited about it. Mm-hmm. That his family know that he writes and that he writes poetry, but doesn't exactly know what kind of poetry he writes. And trust me, they are slide off your chair. Panty dropping poetry. Check him out. Anyway, it's fantastic. And we will be interviewing him shortly. So his family don't know what he writes, but are very supportive of him writing. And I think that's an interesting twist too.
Well, that might make it more digestible too, is you can always express interest in, you know, what people do without having to be personally involved. And I think that's what kind of makes the arts in general kind of different than other career paths out there. You know, my cousin can go be an accountant and I can be very proud of him for that. And I can be like, oh, that's really cool. And I don't have to sit down and have him explain to me, you know, the nuances of doing, you know, accounting, of cracking numbers and all that kind of stuff, nor would I really want to. I can just sit back and simply be happy to say, hey, you really wanted to be an accountant. And now look at you, you're an accountant. And I think the problem is, like, you know, people, I can tell my friend or my relative who's a writer, I can say, hey, that's really cool. You wanted to be a writer and you wrote something, or you're writing something, and that's really awesome and I'm happy. And then when they go, well, do you want to hear some? I could still say no.
That's it.
Maybe I'm not interested in hearing it, but I can still be happy that they're pursuing their dream.
Absolutely. You can be 100% supportive without reading a single word that they say or that they write.
Definitely. Definitely. So there's that sort of emotional, moral, social support, you know, keep going. We think you're great. We love you. You're following your dream. That kind of support. Sometimes that's almost better than the technical critique of someone reading your words and telling you how they feel about your words. Is someone actually just saying, no, keep going.
Way to go.
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah, way to go. Yay. So what do you do, guys? What do you do if you find no support, if you have no support from your family and no support from your real life friends? What do you do?
Oh, that's where you set up a little gonk on top of your monitor with a little flag going, yay, and look at it a lot. or you know, the self-portrait photo and animated as a GIF going, you're awesome, and waving at yourself. Oh,
just go check out Migs. He can make the GIFs for you. You're amazing, Z. Yeah. I know.
and
so what do we do?
Somehow we've got to get our confidence from somewhere. And there's like today when it's hammering down with rain and it's cold and it's grim and nothing feels good. And you've still got to find it in yourself to get out of bed and go do stuff. And for some people, that is really hard. So it's a good question. And I guess we all find our own motivation in our own little sweet way. But
I think support is imperative. It was one question that I did put up. Is support imperative to success? And I believe it is. I believe that support of your writing is imperative to success. Where you find that support might not be in the most traditional of places. It might not be with your partner or your children or your fathers or parents or whatever. It might not be with the neighbors or anything like that. It might be with some strange screen name that you have this cosmic connection with, that shares a similar style or love or genre or whatever, that you find the support that just turns around and says, look, I see what you're doing. Way to go. And that's all you need. I yeah. believe support is imperative to continue. If you don't have it, you need to seek it out. I believe that's Z's personal belief. So please don't come hunt me down if you don't agree. Oh, you can anyway. I don't mind. But you know, that's.
But that's the magic. That's the good side of social media. Is even if, yeah, like Zintra, you live in some strange God's forgotten corner of Queensland that no one's ever heard of and doesn't actually exist on the map, you can still reach out into the real world and find these amazing crowd of random people. Some of us are very random, to be fair, but there's so many people out there. Somebody you just kind of meet out of nowhere and find that you click and you're on the same way, let's just support. And some of them you say, hey, I'm writing a book, and click, brr, you know, they you're blocked, never hear from them again. Fine, well, they weren't quite the friends you thought, or stuff happens. But most people, when you make that kind of connection across the ether in the middle of nowhere, oh yeah, the three of us somehow got together, so thank you to Twitter, it all kind of works.
And if you use the right hashtags, then you'll attract certain types of people that will share a camaraderie. The writing community hashtag, writing cafe, writers life, writers live, whatever you choose to do through Twitter, they all get you to the same place. And you put out your feelers. And I do mean that on a metaphorical sense. If you go feeling people up there, you want to know them a little bit better than just a name on a screen. And connect.
Here's the other thing. Support is born where there's the same environment for expectation and demand, but you don't use expectation or demand. That is where support exists. The minute you got to guilt trip somebody into reading your stuff, they're not supporting you. Nor are you asking them for support. You're saying, hey, we know each other. You should want to do this. And they go, okay, fine. That's it.
And also, you sound out people's limits and what they're really about. There are some amazing people out there who will very happily retweet a bunch of stuff they've seen, and you hope they do it, you know, because they've liked what they've seen. That doesn't mean that they're volunteering to become your next beta reader. But it opens a bit of a conversation. You talk to them about it, and there you start to pick up. Maybe there is a connection and maybe there's some support and friendship there. And other times it's just, hey, thanks, you liked my stuff. That's really cool.
And usually that's all you got to do. If they want more, they'll come back. And that's how you know that they really support you, is when they're coming to you going, hey, man, you know, when's the next beta read for me? You know, it's like you sent me over a few chapters last month. I'd really like to see some more. And that's when you've got it, man. And you don't have to sit there and pressure or anything like that. I mean, when I was a little kid and I first started writing, just little this and that doodles, whatever, you know, I'd run that shit out to my mom or whatever as soon as I finished, and she'd sit there and, you know, I was probably ruining whatever TV show she was watching at the time. But she would sit there and she would, yeah, and she would read it, and I would wait anxiously for her to let me know what she thought. And I guess you just kind of think everybody wants to do that with your stuff. But, you know, I kind of had to grow and learn later that writing or drawing or illustrating or poetry or music or whatever little art that we do is viewed outwardly from others. It's the same whether you know, it doesn't make us any more special than your cousin that works on motorcycles all the time, you know, or your brother out there that's trying to, you know, learn how to ride a mountain bike or something. No, you know, we would owe them that same degree of excitement, in all fairness. But people absolutely put the word writer on stuff or artist on stuff, and we expect some kind of divination to it all. But it's not true. Because as excited as I am about what I'm writing, my cousin and his motorcycle, he's just as excited about that. So it's
that's it. If I had a friend who wanted to join a gym and they're like, yeah, I'm going to go and I'm going to get my lycra on, I'm going to work out, and I'm just like, yay, go you. They go, you want to go? No. No,
Oh,
I do
okay.
not.
Come on, Z. We know you sleep the lycra in the closet and get it out, and everyone's got to
Look.
sleep. Yeah. We've
Look,
heard.
the lycra, the leather, the whips, the corset, she got it all going on. But, I can cheer them on from the seat as I eat my crispy fries and,
With a knife
shake
and
my
fork.
hand. Really? Do we need to go knife and fork?
Always.
You brought out the whips and chains, and you know where that leads.
Straight to the knife and fork. Oh, people, cutlery, use it, would you? Especially now.
Yeah,
I'm
actually,
ahead
you know
of my
what?
time. This is the thing. I'm ahead of my time. Everybody should be using cutlery right now.
This weekend, I am with you. I nearly sprained my wrist this morning. I am using cutlery from now
I do not want to know what you were doing while you nearly sprained your wrist. You better limber up a little
Well,
bit before you do
I mean, if
that.
cutlery is the answer.
Before you fork, limber up the wrist. No, it's just, oh, this just went downhill really fast, didn't it? I can cheer on my friends' beliefs or cheer on their endeavors without joining them. I don't need to go to the gym to cheer her on. She doesn't need to read my book in order to cheer me on.
Indeed.
There it is.
And to
And
have the
there, I think that's.
expectation of such an event will only lead to disappointment. Expectations of people are unfair generally because you
Yes,
don't
they
want them
are.
ever to feel obligated. Obligation's even worse. Obligated to do something means you're doing it even though you don't want to do it. I don't want somebody to read my book because they feel obligated to read it. I want them to read my
Because you
book
share,
because
yeah.
I need to
Just
read it.
because
They
I share some
want.
kind of family tree does not mean, yeah,
No,
exactly. It's
exactly. I want
crazy.
them to hunger for my stories. I don't want them to go, oh God, yes, better read that one.
But then again, so back to your original point then. So no matter how good or
I had
bad
one.
we think our stuff is, you did. This is no. This is a milestone. Season two, you had a point.
Oh,
This is cool.
okay.
Which is that support is, I would agree, support is imperative for success.
It
So
is.
no matter how good or bad we think our own stuff is, if it's just us shouting into the shouting down the well and hoping that it sounds good when it comes back up, nah, you're going to lose it. You're never going to finish. Whereas it may only be one other person, but someone just either going, hey, go you, that's cool, or someone actually taking an interest and reading and giving feedback, all of that, I would say, yes, is imperative for success. Otherwise, you just kind of lose it and give up, surely.
I'm a big believer in this, and as you said, it could just be an anonymous name on a screen, on a Twitter page, Facebook page, and Instagram. It doesn't matter what social media. You don't need to know this person on any sort of physical level, but if they cheer you on, then that can be the make or break of you continuing. To be completely unsupported in anything, any endeavor, I think would be entirely challenging to continue.
And as we know,
It's not
the lone
possible.
genius working by themselves usually
Yeah, I mean,
succeeds.
it
So
is
we shouldn't be
possible.
that guy.
It is possible. I'm not going to sit there because, surely I'm going to get a DM that just goes, hey, I'm that person and I never had support and I have a bestseller. Great. No, it's more power to you. I'm just talking more on a general level that it would be a fuckload easier with somebody going, yes, Sintra, you got this girl. Let's
Well,
go.
I want material support. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't give a shit about the cheerleader crap. I don't want the rah-rah bullshit. I personally haven't, I've never benefited personally from rah-rah one day in my life. Now, I want material support. Somebody wants to support me. Hey, where's that person out there that knows how to edit? Yeah, I'm gonna send you some over. You're gonna start doing some edits. Oh, you got some marketing expertise? All right, I'm gonna send that over to you. That's the kind of support that I need. I The rah-rah shit I can do for myself. I'm delusional enough I can cheer myself all day long.
See,
But
I
no,
can
I always
vouch
want
for
that
that
support where it's
information.
like I need material support. I think that's one thing that, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of screaming for as well when they're saying, boy, I need help doing this, I need help doing that. and everybody comes back with the whole, you know, hold on to your dreams, catch a star by the tail and fly to heaven, whatever the fuck that shit's supposed to mean. Platitudes are garbage, in my opinion. They just are.
Have you ever seen the tweets go up that says, what's your biggest struggle in writing, or what's your most challenging aspect? And 99.99% of those answers will be marketing. Somebody needs to help with all of that shit.
True. I'll tell you who needs to support each other.
Yeah.
If the writing community modeled themselves after Joe's friends.
Yeah.
You know, now that is a supportive group of individuals right there.
That is a supportive group. I mean, they took him through the drive. They were stemming his blood flow. He's dying on the seat, and yet they're still cheering him on. You can do it, Joe. Stay with us, Joe. We got this, Joe. There's your support.
They found him the handsy doctor who didn't want it, and it's all good.
Of course, bookers, you should all know what we're talking about, and that's our fan fiction that we've been reading along chapter by chapter. Are we ready to go into our next chapter, boys?
I am.
Chapter 8 awaits.
Chapter 8. Hang on, let me pull it up on my – there I am. Sorry, I was in my Twitter feed.
Caleb, are you going to lead us in this week, and then Zintra will take over and I'll follow at the end?
Sure thing.
And we're on chapter 8 for those who are following along at home.
That is right. This is the second to last chapter, I believe. I think there's only one left to go.
It's a short one too, so don't let me read too much, hey? Because I get in trouble last week.
So
Caleb, if you take us to his friend's face, and then Zintra will be unnecessary pain, and I'll bring up the rear.
Zintra is always unnecessary pain, isn't she?
I gather we've earned it. I just got all excited with David bringing up the rear. Am I the meat in the sandwich again? It's just twice in a, like, 2 weeks in a row.
Well, look, everyone needs a hobby. That's nice.
I like this position, boys.
Well, I'm going to read down to friend space starting us out here.
Keep on going.
Here we go. Chapter 8, kicking it off. Joey, are you awake yet, man? Today was the first day of Joe's physical therapy. Hugh wasn't sure if he was physically ready for this, as he was still in obvious heavy pain, but Joe wanted to try, so try they would. Joe had been at Q's house for 2 days now, after spending a week with Sal. This was their game plan until he was able to walk safely with his crutches. Walking into the spare bedroom of his apartment, he found Joe still asleep, 3 dogs and 2 cats surrounding him on the bed. Hugh smiled at the sight of this and took a cell from his pocket so he could get a picture before waking his friend and his pals up. After taking a ton of photos, Jesus, how long was he standing over there just collecting a ton of photos? He shook his friend gently awake.
This is not good.
Come on, Joe. Get up and get dressed. Get dressed. Was he naked the whole time? We have to be at the hospital in an hour. Joe woke slowly, finally focused on his friend's face.
I'm trying not to make jokes about him with pussies in his bed. All right, where am I? Okay. It's my turn, isn't it? Yeah, that is today. Yeah, buddy. You still up for giving it a shot? Don't feel bad saying no, Joe. If you don't think you can do it, there's no need to push yourself. But I need to do it, Brian. Yes, it's Brian. When did we get Brian? Brian
is Q.
Oh.
Yeah, Brian is Q.
Okay, I'm not used to the word Brian. I'm just like, okay. I can't depend on you guys forever. Q forced eye contact. See, why have I got shaking his head in mock disgust. Joe, I don't even want to hear that silly shit. None of us mind helping you. You know that. So don't base your decision on being dependent on any of us. Base it on your pain level and how much you think you can tolerate. There's no sense in torturing yourself if you're not ready. Joe had turned his head towards the wall. Look at me, Joey. Hugh waited for his friend had turned his back around in the bed. Do you think you can handle it yet? Honestly, man, don't go causing yourself unnecessary pain. Joe looked down at his hands.
I don't think I can. I wish I could say yes, but it hurts like hell just laying here in the bed. Okay then, bud. We wait. That's fine. I'll call the police, explain, and we'll reschedule. Don't you worry about it. You'll get there. It just takes time. Joe nodded. So for now, let's get dressed and go grab some breakfast. What do you say? You're asking me if I want to eat? Have you met me before? Quinn chuckled at his friend's banter.
I nearly read past that part too.
You just got the bit between your teeth and there's just no stopping you, girl.
Oh, look, when I get excited, I'm just a goer. I'm sorry. I just can't help it. Oh, they threw me off going from Q to Brian. So interesting.
I'm starting to think this isn't even finished yet.
It's intriguing.
I wonder if they just gave up on it, because I was glancing through chapter 9 and it doesn't look like it wraps. So I wonder if this is just something they just kind of gave up. That's a shame if that's the truth.
We're committed now.
I'm enjoying the ride so far.
Next week, the big finale.
I'm enjoying the ride so far. All right. So, yeah, there's our chapter 8. Yes. And our podcast for this week, I guess.
And we concluded that we all need support. Caleb needs an editor. You need help with marketing. And I need someone to just beat me until I finish writing the damn book.
Yeah, that's how you sprained your wrist, probably. So,
I plead the fifth.
No, I can't. That's just the possibilities of jokes on that level is just too broad for me right now. All right, so what's happening? Let's tell the bookers where to find us. Of course, bookers, find us on What the Book Podcast at Twitter. Come check a follow on our page and we will follow you back. I do like to follow on that, so please do that. Where can they find you, David?
You can, this coming week, definitely find me back out on the Twitter, out having fun, at Kung Fu Ponder.
And your web page is still coming?
So it's going through a maturing phase.
Is that what we call
it out publicly? dac.au is my Instagram, and there should be some more photos hitting the presses fairly soon on that one.
Oh, it'd be good to see you back on the Twitter feed. We've missed you for the last couple of weeks. Caleb, where can they find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at BanningK1979. That's BanningK1979. Come check me out. Come chat with me. My pinned tweet has all my other links for all my other stuff. Yeah, I'll check that out. Come by and see me sometime.
All right, and of course your book Vexed and Venerated is available. Go check that one out. It is awesome. You can find me. Come and give me let you in on a little secret. I had somebody challenge me to say a word on the podcast today, and I was just about to say it and I just couldn't say it, and now I have to say it because if I don't, I'm going to be totally shamed out in the locker room later on.
Share with the class.
Well, you know, swearing is swearing. Everybody swears. The word shit, fuck, whatever else, it's become almost like a comma in common language. So I'm a big believer in creative swearing. And there was this word that I've been challenged to use. So it was – I was going to say
is this one of those use the word felch in polite conversation kind of challenges?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you want to check me out, come give me a cock prod. Citra Sullivan. And I'm just sitting there going, this is just going to get my whole DM filled with dick pics, I'm sure. But, you know, there you go. All right, in the locker room, I can hold my head up high. I have said cock prod on the podcast.
There you go, cock prod. There it is. Cock
prod, yes.
Go you, go you.
Look, you know, you set me a challenge. I'm a girl who will do it. There's something to think about, you know. Bookers set
See,
me
I
off.
thought that was just gossip, but hey, if that's real, oh no, all good. More
I'm not the
power
one sitting back with a sprained wrist at the moment. So yeah, look for me on any social media. Cintra Sullivan, of course, that's with a D and a Z. Thank you, Caleb.
You're welcome.
And of course, my new Boner book is out, and I just announced a little bit earlier that I am releasing yet another book in 2 weeks. This is one that I think every author will love. Every author, and I will stake this right now. Every author will find something in this book they can relate to. Every author. That is hard. It's a big statement, but I'm going to stand by it. More news to come on that
so
one
watch
next.
This space in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah. More news to come next week. The cover reveal will be during the week, and I will let you hear more about it next week. So,
is
okay.
this that one with the cover picture with you in the whips and chains, or was that another project?
That's a private one, thank you.
Oh, sorry. Oops. Sorry. As you were. Move on.
You know they were just shared privately, David.
I've not sent them to many other people.
Not many. No, not many. All right. Okay, thanks, guys, for joining me this Sunday afternoon. And, of course, thank you, bookers, for tuning in and listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you next week.
Bye. See you next week, guys.
Good night, everybody.